All right, hey, thank you and welcome to the Six of Discs. This is the Six of Discs, episode one. I am going to be going into a brief expose about who I am in this episode and my general take on the occult and the use of magic and freedom. So, with that said, this is a briefer episode than I'll be doing for the Six of Discs. It's a inaugural brief entry. Things have been very busy, but you'll hear more about that. In brief, in future, this show will be a solo show that is dedicated to a singular topic, whereas the Swords is the conversation with one-on-one about art, spirituality, healing, roundtable for Six of Cups, live show for the Wands. We have the Discs for a personal project, so this one will be set to that. This is the part in the show where those who have dedicated enough of their life love to donate above the $200 level. This is the executive producer level. So this is where their messages go. And when you donate that amount, you will get to go here. If you appreciate an episode, you can always say, I am donating in honor of this episode or for this. That gets noted down which one that goes to. Or you can say, I'm just donating to the recent episode and let the chips fall as they may as well. You're also able to do that. But the shows, they do get credit. So if you like the Hellier episode of the Six of Cups, donate money to the Six of Cups. If you like one of the Six of Discs, state which one, you'll donate to that show. They all go to occultfan@paymail.com. So with that said, let us get to the show. And away we go. So hello and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Six of Discs. The Six of Discs, Six of Pentacles, Six of Coins, what you will, Six of Discs. Actually, right off the bat, we decided to take the name from Sod. I liked how it was S-O-D, which was a reference to the 120 days of Sod-all from The Invisibles. So this is the fourth in the Six of series. Six of Swords is the one-on-one conversation. It's an art, spirituality, and healing show focused on the upward evolution of the human and interdimensional and spiritual consciousness. The Six of Cups is a pleasurable, fun, relaxed round table about different topics that we choose. We further have the Six of Wands, which is a live call-in interactive show. There are a lot of different news going on about the show and other relevant topics to the community that may be brought up at that time or whatever's going on in whatever community is there. It's a crossroads of sorts. I tend to run with people from lots of different vantage points that all ultimately see one common theme, and that overall seems to me, let's say, freedom. I think that's the common theme that I've seen. And tonight we're going to talk about freedom. We're going to talk about magic. We're going to talk about the occult. We're going to talk about the mind. We're going to talk about how you can utilize these practices and how I do, and a little bit about who a cult fan is, or Nathan Lee Miller Foster, aka Nate Foster. It's such a name to have, but right off the bat, we'll get into that. Since, to finish the thought immediately, the Six of Discs itself is a show dedicated to one topic, and in this case, we're just going to delve into me. It's been very busy. It's my 35th birthday tomorrow, and I will be reaching an age that's important to me. I will not be going into why, but it's monumental, if for lack of other words, day to me. So I'm putting out this Six of Discs, the inaugural one, out of a promise to myself to get it done. So further shows will be more focused on UFOs, freedom itself, the idea even breaking down into the history of freedom throughout different cultures, going way back, Göbekli Tepe back, and how the spirit itself, what freedom itself is, and even, you know, about the idea of
federal versus, you know, the anti-federalists and going into actual case usages from our own country's history and further and beyond. So there's topics like that. And again, like I said, UFOs. We'll be looking into each of the trivium one by one. And we'll also have other shows that are focused on different portraitures of particular, either famous historical figures from one group or another, be it the Chaos Magician groups or the Rosicrucian groups to Freemasonic groups, what have you. We'll do portraitures to people there as well. The Discs is a working project, but it's about work. It's about putting in the time to build something. It's about looking at things that have been built. It's also about stones. There will be interviews at points if I choose to, or exposés with some snippets and interview clips from people in the cannabis community. I have roots growing deep into the cannabis community that reach back, I guess, if you really want to just be honest, ever since I first inhaled and was affected by the Green Lady. You feel me? I mean, yeah. It was about 4:20 in the recording when I said that. That won't match up with the intros and midtros and outros spliced in, but as it were, off to a good start. I'm glad you're still with me. So I guess the easiest out of all of those topics that I started with, I believe it was magic or freedom, the occult, mind. I was talking a bit about those. So let's just dive into this, because I want to respect your time as you respect mine. And I'd like to take this hour, or what amounts to an hour, to get these points across as directly as possible. So how does this all come together? Freedom, magic, the occult. Well, why is freedom important? I mean, let's take that as the inalienable right. Like, that's just a good. If you're not, in short, all that is manifest needs to move about. And if it cannot move about, right, then there's no manifestation. It's that simple, right? I mean, I hope that you can see why I say it like that. It's that simple about the actual act of being in three dimensions in an ensouled context. And it is good that we are. Wittgenstein says, it's not how the world that is the mysterious, it's that the world even is. I mean, it's a paraphrase. I'm fond of quoting it. Thinking about that, think about how that's accurate and actually what's happening. So, if freedom's good, then we have to look at what's actually the real manifestation agent that we're working in, right? If you're still with me here, kind of proud of you. The idea is that we look at it like from a Rupert Sheldrakean aspect in the more modern, more materialist angle. You could say it from more of a mythopoetic angle, that we're in the dreaming, which I think is a far more accurate way to look at things. I think animism is more than legitimately at the peerage of all other systems of looking at metaphysics, right? It simply is. And the further we reach back to see purer forms, and in this I mean it in the Mark Booth / Jonathan Black, the secret history of the world context, in a way. You could also say to untouched cultures, I don't know, you get the language. Cultures that are still representing a more pure form of what they would say is what our actual cosmogony is. So when I say that, like, we have to look what's really going on, and I could say you could look at it from the Rupert Sheldrakean aspect, or you could look at it from the more dreaming aboriginal, if you will, beyond cultures that built pyramids all across the world, but connected to that and connected to what crop circles are, and how actually it's true in the Valet or Jungian sense that UFOs are related to consciousness. And where is this going back to? This is, the whole thing is consciousness. We are in a dream. That's what I'm saying. All of that was to say that. So we're connecting magic, mind, UFO, esoteric, the occult, because it's the keystone, if you will. It's the rabbit hole. It's the actual way in. It's the red pill, if you will. And so open up the third eye how you will. We're all connected. People are off to say, oh, those in the occult, you know, they open their mind up to demons. And I'm like, well, this is a fair and vast, but simple at the same time, as all things are, concept. We're already all connected. What people call the solace of their own mind, I mean, yeah, that is important. One of the first things I was taught by one of my main mentors, I'd like to get to know him better. I'll say friend in the future. Freighter Xavier, proper. Mind and magic. Let me take a sip from the mug. Hey, just enough coffee in there. It's the mind and magic mug I have here. Kudos to you, sir, if you're listening. That would be wicked radical if you are. Anyways, moving forward. One of the first things that I learned was that we invoke the good thoughts by first banishing other thoughts. I'm putting it a certain way that's not the right way to say it, but necessarily saying, if you have a negative thought, right, this is totally true, especially in the wee hours in the morning when your subconscious is super connected, right, when we're all, you know, when you're kind of like programming yourself super hard, but like you got to clear out the negative talk, and if you have a negative thought, just say, I do not accept that, or I banish that. Do it right quick. Do it. It's your consciousness. You are divine. So this is where I hear people would be saying, oh, you're opening your mind up. Yeah, well, you know, I've heard from some other mentors of mine, proper shielding's just your responsibility and too flipping bad if you don't do it, you know. So proper shielding, I want to say, we need proper psychic hygiene, and we need to be appropriate adults. And frankly, that's what this is about as well. This, if you're listening, I hope you are. He's an occultist, you know, just, he's going to ramble. You want the knowledge. I'm doing the best I can here. Yeah. Okay. Hooray. All the kids on the bus. All right. The wheels are made of cheese. So when did you get surreal in here? Oh, baby, it always was. Nope. Can you get the point for the nice people? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So anyways, it's all connected, the mind. And if you want to invoke good things in your life, you need to connect yourself to an upward spiral way of living and being. And part of doing that really is taking care of your psychic hygiene. And we want to all be adults here. We want to be useful and all be upwards spiraling. So it's your responsibility to be aware that the ultimate war that's going on right now is the war against consciousness, the war against dreaming, because we are dreaming, all right? The windfish is real. Now, for those who are not familiar when I say that, the windfish is a character in the fourth Legend of Zelda game. This fourth one was the first portable one, okay? Link's Awakening. It was later released in a color DS form. It had an extra dungeon. You could choose red or blue, blah, 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 blah. The whole point is that, spoiler alert, but it's an Alice in Wonderland. It's a dream. The whole thing's a dream. You go through, it's one of the best games I've ever seen. The Final Fantasy and Zelda and Rune Factory Frontier franchises, bar none. So, anyways, what I'm talking about here is that you look at this fourth conceptual game where you have to collect 8 different instruments, 8, right? And then you wake the windfish, and when you wake the windfish, the whole world disappears. You get to about halfway through the game, and the monsters start warning you, hey, you know, if you do this, you're not just killing us, you're killing everyone. But you keep proceeding anyways, collecting more and more instruments, and you get to the final egg on top of the mountain, okay? The egg on top of the mountain. And then you go in and you face the nightmares, okay? It's just a collection of all the other nightmares into one great final nightmare taking on its own form, okay? So you, okay, yes, we're all aware of the, so, but the point is that you finally wake him up, and guess what? You go up this consciousness ladder. You find this flying whale, this whale with wings.
And when he wakes up, he says, "Ah, Link." You know, I usually title the character Link.
And he says, "You know, you have woke me long. Long have I slumbered, and I saw all the things that you did. You were part of my dream. Now that I wake, this world must pass." And then he, Link, wakes up and he's in the sea again, because in the original beginning of the game, you know, lightning came down, struck his boat, and he woke up on this island, and comes to a circle, of course. So I believe that's very actually much like our cosmogony, that we are all dreaming, and the reason, frankly, I had this kind of massive, like, whoa, the reason that we actually have to go back to sleep all the time, right? You can't, like, live without going mad without sleep or dying, frankly, that's because our bodies do not come from this realm first. This realm comes after. The reason people are in such distress, one of the main uppercuts to the cogency of the living reality connected for the conscientious human stewards of the soul and all the jizz jazz that I just said, baby, is that they have to come cart. Okay, after, you know, the horse. I'm like thinking through it. I'm like, shit, this is the one you got to say this carefully. You know, you got the horse inside the cart. Or, oh, actually, I'm glad I said it that way. I meant to say it the other way. Jeez, we're getting an accidentally writer. Anyways, so listen up. Listen up, pups. Here's what we got going on. We got this massive war on our dreaming. And people be thinking that we're materialists, you know, reality functionalities. And they're completely fool. That's it. They're just completely fool. The way I understand language right now, this is how we can do this. If you understand language, then, you know, you do you, buddy. Yes. So when you look at the fact that we have to go to sleep, right? To me, there's something about the validity of the primacy of the astral world or the sublunar or possibly what we would just simply call the subconscious, right? That aspect. And I think that's like largely why I have gone through the quote-unquote schooling that I went through, that if I had, you know, known better from, like, Richard Grove and others, Gordon White, others, Martin Armstrong, others, like, I would, you know, Nassim Taleb, that I would have not have gone to college, but I would have followed a trade or followed my music more directly. Of course, as I explained to Langston Kahn in New York, over the Metaphysics of Desire in the beginning of September there in New York, I said to him, you know, not to all shamans do they do this, but to the worn out parable, they totally MK Ultra some of the shamans. They are sought out, they are collected after much information is gathered on them throughout their young years, and special classes are set aside for them, and they are taken out of the classroom at pre-designed times and taken into private quote-unquote tutoring, and then later on in their lives they will be pumped full of pills so that they start falling asleep in class. Wait, are you starting to tell all this for some reason, Nate? Yeah, let's get to the point. Told Langston, said, I completely understand why they did what they did to me, especially when I was in such a setting full of such wonderful people, such real, it was one of those things. What I'm trying to say is that, like, throughout my life, I've always deeply appreciated what we would call these occult experiences, which no more than in some ways would just be seen as a gathering of people who would follow any particular path. You know, when three in my name or two in my name are gathered, there's something really special about just a focused human intention and a group. It's a community aspect of it. Beautiful underlying human experience. And that's the most important aspect that I'm getting at with all of this, is that there's people here amongst us who can really do some good things. And, you know, for better or worse, archons will archon, if you get what I'm trying to pull all this around together with. So there's a war on dreaming, and there are really powerful dreamers around us. I'll have you understand that the way I express myself is very Pisces rising, which I am. So you'll understand my affinity for the dreaming. It's not just a rising sign, not just a son of Jupiter clouding of my eyes, if you will. It's actually the way that things are. This really is a dreamed reality, and there is a war on dreaming, and it's up to us to have proper psychic shielding and psychic consciousness, because the real true freedom has two hands. It has a hand to kill and a hand to heal. That's not some cheesy X-Files line, and it's more kind of like what Aragorn does, right? It's true. We have to say, give no shit, take no shit. And ultimately, with what I value throughout my life, I was like, you know, I was kind of attracted to, like, magic and witchcraft and, you know, but don't let that, like, mess your mind up with understanding who I am if you're not from this vantage point. And if you are, it was not as actually, I was not that involved. I had some fleeting light interests and, like, you know, I messed around with Dungeons and Dragons once or twice, like, did a candle spell a couple of times, read a white witchcraft book. My first witchcraft book was like a white spell book, which is actually very important because you should know that. Anyways, the spake Godzilla. Anyways, all I'm saying is that the real upbringing for me was more to do with just like, I used to go to P-Town in the summers and the Cape all over, but P-Town in particular had these wonderful stores with these wonderful, like, Grateful Dead bears dancing on these tie-dye beads, and they had Cherry Garcia back then, because sadly enough, Cherry had passed, but it was just all these wonderful, because I remember they introduced it because we had gone there before he had passed. Anyways, so, Nantucket, wonderful, the whole other thing. So, but the point is that P-Town had these wonderful things, so they had these, like, yin-yangs and stuff like that. So I was exposed to so much throughout my life, and, you know, at times, you know, I was raised Methodist, too. I'm trying to tell you my point about why I'm so interested in the occult, and I brought in the schooling and stuff like that, and how I went to school. I ended up going to school for so freaking long, and I would never recommend other people go to school. So you're following these trails. I'm picking them all together. This is good. In winding circles and multiple spirals, we build this holographic, detailed emporium of understanding and conveyance of forward momentum and meaning, meaning that the people who listen to this can actually take something away from this and use it, and this is good. And I'm able to do my purpose here. So what happens is that I was, I have one piece of paper for six degrees. Technically, one program of study. I refer to as a minor, but appropriately, it's one program of study, two minors, and three majors, going from descending numbers. Program of study in law via philosophy. I have a neuroscience minor and a film minor. I have a philosophy and a psychology and an English major. Those are the credits that I took. And I have a single piece of paper, and we're not going to talk about anything else related to that you understand. So, Game of Saturn, yeah. So, anyways, yeah, those are my interests, and they all abide within the realm of the occult, I find, especially the film. It's probably my favorite thing of all of them. But the whole point is that my mind is, like, completely conjunct astrologically with occult thinking. And throughout my life, whenever I was at these different kinds of, like, stores that were, like, so magical, what I'm trying to bring this all together is to say that, like, I've always had this relentless connection with art and the surreal and magic and mind and the mystical and a world understanding of that. And my earlier experience has borne that out, not just in armchair, but in straight into the pits and the fields and the dens and the caves and right through the Wonderland cavalcade of decapitated insanity. Something like that. So, I've seen the fires, and I've been tempered. And there's still so much good work to be done, but yeah, man. That shit is intense. Pardon my language. So, I come from a very interesting background as far as interacting with the subconscious and the other realms of mind, and finally, through seeing the interaction with how mind works from several different vantage points, the occult being one of them, but the occult is another, it's everywhere. It's what? It's when the moon is obscured by a cloud. Obscured by clouds, 1972. It was the simplest thing to make so parabled into dark and then black, and it's on the negative, and it's like, all right, well, the occult is actually not always bad to be hidden. In fact, there's something, I'll just leave this here. Why is peekaboo so archetypally powerful? Okay? Well, just like that baby burst into being. Well, way to go. Give it away. So anyways, delight. Oh, so we're just going to flow right along here. Thank you for listening. These will be more concise when I actually prepare for them. Busy here, I told you. Turning 35 and soon. Finished the Lord of the Rings today. Huge milestone. So, anyways, where was I going with this? Oh, dear. Well, it's all right. I can just kind of dance around for a second until I get it. But, yeah. Well, quite now, I've thrown myself off with my congratulations to myself for reading. I really did. I poured so much time and energy into reading these guys. But now I finally read The Lord of the Rings. I feel very, very, this was good to do. I am getting closer to where I was going to with saying about moving the whole thing forward here now. Yeah. There is an important way to understand what we're doing here is people who are, you know, listening to podcasts and making our art and trying to trade in this world, the most important thing that we're actually here to do isn't just on this world. I mean, mind you, I'm trying to say multiple things at once, but you're here to create things and manifest them as a project, right? Anyways, I think I was starting to say something about how peekaboo was a really big thing, because it really is. It's actually a huge thing. It has to do with a dream that somehow the way that manifestation, when two things combine, and now I've remembered what I was going to say. Well, then it just went again. But it's about a paradox. So anyways, when things combine like that and they pop into being and there's something so primal about that. Ah, yes, that's right. This is the metaphysics of a desire thing that it made me, I came upon this. I was like, you know, when is desire, you know, is desire something that can never be sated, or is it something that's kind of like always just around the bend? You know, it's like you can almost get there. And then, you know, famously, I don't think anyone mentioned this, but I think that it was famously said that, what was it? And it was so funny because I read it like at the Strand bookstore the night before the entire event or something to the effect of like, there's, just like with money and sex, there's only enough when you've had too much, or there's only such thing as, anyway, so that was my butchering of a quote. You can see that I'm getting into this and I just want to get past that, but, so the only time I came upon this understanding because Hermann Hesse had something that said that life is only long enough for a joke, you know, or time, you know, eternity is but now and eternity is only long enough for a joke. And I thought about something to the effect of, and it was perhaps before I thought of that quote, but that quote came after I realized this, that laughter itself, during the moment of true mirthful laughter, joyful laughter, surprise laughter, loving laughter, kind laughter, during the moment of laughter, all desire is sated. Now, you could say any kind of laughter, but I would say during the moment of laughter, you know, the fleeting moment of the pitch height, the apex, the zenith of laughter, you are left with complete satisfaction. That is a cessation of desire. And that's why comedians are so powerful, why the fool is such an archetype. The fool is that energy bursting into being raw, uninhibited. The magician is the temperance and focus of that. I mean, in short, you know, zero and one, standing wave and pure chaos in a way. But, yeah, so, I don't know, I'm just throwing some ideas at y'all. We're going to go on for a little bit more. I think I'll record these, or at least this one, for like 33 minutes tonight. Throw some intros and mid-tros and outros as I do. But now I'm just all housekeeping, so I'll just add that while I'm housekeeping. We do have the Invisibles reading group. You can find out more about that on the Six of Swords Discord. You will find a link to that if you ask me. And I'm a cult fan at Gmail for now until I get on my Proton or whatever I do. We'll figure that shit out. But yeah, so anyways, that's basically the gist of it. That's like why I do what I do. I've always been interested in this. I like positive spiritual gatherings. Went to a Unitarian church during like a while back, and for a little while, and some guys stood up in church was like, why can't we allow atheists to say there's no God here? I'm like, all right, this is just out of control. Yeah, I mean, how do you... Anyways, gee, for goodness sakes. So, you know, there's certain more expansive ways to look at this. And I'm trying to keep in mind that, like, I have people who are, like, everywhere along the line from don't do magic, very interested in liberty, to do magic and definitely don't want to talk about gun rights and, you know, everyone in between. So it's like I have a lot of people, and I value everyone who has an ultimate interest in our community, permaculture, freedom living based system. You know, I adhere ultimately nonviolence is the path. I believe that being Christ-like is infinitely better than imitating empty words. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's not even reading the book or watching the movie. It's more like, do you want to read the book or live the tale? And that's why good stories like The Lord of the Rings give us such hope and wonder. And first of all, I think there's some, like, you know, secret history of the world, like truth, you know, in there. But like, for real, I think that, like, the way that we can learn from stories isn't obviously, as you know, why they're so powerful. But like, we got to mix that up and come into realizing that if there's something to do with like why power is the power of stories and whatnot, you know, is so deep, you know, what that has to do with the dreaming, right? We get into that further down the line. This is why you got to have good psychic protection and psychic offense. Know what I'm saying?
Well, thanks for listening so far. We're almost there. And this is the part in the show where those who have donated between $50 and above, up till $200, will get their notes read and their messages read, and all of that will go towards their VFERPG points. So, with that said, and no further ado, back to the show. But of course, like, you know, whether or not you have it or not, it's up to you. You're an adult, but I would like to see you do that. I would like to see you taking care of yourself like that. I would like to see you thriving, because when we take care of ourselves, then we can take care of others. And that's what the whole real point is about, I think. I think it's a very sacred gift to be here, and that we chose to come here, and that we have a responsibility to one another, for what it's worth. You know what I mean? Like, it's a complicated thing, but you know, you didn't make yourself. You came from two people. Two people made you. You are the product of two other people. Therefore, you are always, you know, in the gratitude, if you have the right way of looking at things, of, you know, the community. And you will rather morgue than Borg. You feel me? And you will always be ultimately good to other people. And you will realize that the psychopaths are the ticks and the leeches, and that you should never ever accuse someone of being a psychopath if they're not one, because that's basically betrayal. That's very low. We got to start to see things like that. You know what I'm saying? And people of acting with Batiko, we got to figure out how to disarm that. There's true psychopathy and evil and such. You know, they're not necessarily like equal, but close enough for now. And then there's just people going through some bad patterns, and we can really help them out, you know what I'm saying? But if you have the cart before the horse, then you ain't going nowhere. And if you think that, you know, I mean, then your seven card is all busted. But if you do have the ability to realize that we are from the dreaming first, and that's why we have to dream, that's why we go back, man, we come from there. So I'm telling you, this is an illusion. It's a very real illusion, but it's a necessary. This is the gift of an illusion. We can manifest things. We can listen to music. We can have sex. We can eat ripe peaches off of the tree after, you know, a fresh rain. You know, You could think of things that way, too. You don't have to be like, oh, with the chemtrails, because it's easy for me to get... Oh, yeah. Either. So I'm saying, like, we can, there's lots of things to do. Lots of things to do. There's a war on dreaming, but you want to fix the things out here, you got to stop first in here, and then you got to work out. You got to put the cart... What? Before the horse or after the horse? There you go. The horses, then the cart. The cart, after the horse. For goodness sakes. Tell you what, though. I love the chariot card. It's become a recent favorite of mine. True to be it that my shows are the six of all the, so you know, the six of swords, six of cups, six of wands, six of discs, but man, I'd really be liking that chariot card. Anyways, so I feel like we're getting near the end of this. I've just joined the No Agenda Knighthood. As of the time that people might be hearing this, you might hear it before then, you might not. But, yeah, jeez. Long day today. I don't know if I have anything more to say, but I appreciate you tuning in. This is just the inaugural episode, and it's a great episode to start with. I'll finish with a little bit of what I said that I would end with, a little bit more about just where I, you know, come from and who I am. I am... the author of The Holy Gift. I am a professional famous musician. And I am a well-loved host, radio show / podcast. Well, a few of them, actually. And that's what I do. But who I am is... Well, as Lewis Carroll said, that's the great puzzle, isn't it? We're all making ourselves up, and, you know, when I was younger, it was okay for me to be what I wanted to be, but other people, you know, it was kind of, like, hard to believe in other people, and then I found that as we grow up, you know, it's like, it's okay to believe in other people, and definitely believe in yourself, too. If you have the strength for the imagination... of reality. I'm falling asleep now, I think. I just messed up a Goethe quote. At least I said Goethe right. Brother Goethe said, few have the imagination for reality. So, yeah. I think that's Wittgenstein and Goethe. Man, if we can get something else going on here, we'll be doing all right. I told you I would end around 33 minutes, but maybe it's just so I could say 33 a few times. But yeah. In fact, to end this episode, because I was going to say, I guess a little bit more about me. Yeah, a cult fan. Well, I am from Massachusetts, born in a very significant town. Not Boston born, but close enough, and it is super significant in all the right things for all the right reasons, naturally. But let's see here. Yeah, like I said, I've been to college, all that shit's bullshit. I make music. I'm an artist. I like acting. I love dancing. I love cooking. And I love my girlfriend, JJ. Anyways, now I'm getting all. So, I love the occult. I love Twin Peaks. I love Final Fantasy. And, yeah, whatever. That's about me. I don't know. Now that it's time to talk about me, I'm just like, dude, just whatever. So let's end with this quote. All right, this is Epictetus. It's a really cool quote, and I think it kind of connects to a lot of what we're talking about, and we will get into, and things that we only breached the surfaces of. We will get into deeper and better detail. This is, again, just to execute the show. It needs to be here. I needed to do it, and, like, what am I going to talk about? Gonna prepare six paragraphs. You know how it goes. I'm like, oi, I don't have time for this. Alright, it had to be today. It's a good time gnosis day for it. If anyone out there knows Michael Tessarian, please tell him that time gnosis is way too valuable to let go. Anyways, so yeah. Alright, that's enough of that. God has placed at every man's side a guardian. The daemon of each man who is charged to watch over him, a daemon that cannot sleep, cannot be deceived. What greater and more watchful guardian could have been committed to us? So when you have shut the doors and made darkness in the house, remember never to say that you are alone, for you are not alone. But God is there, and your daemon is there. So that's the higher aspect of yourself that connects you to God. In short, it could be seen as the subconscious in a way, but I don't think that's anywhere near efficacious to our purposes. But so I'm interested in all that jazz. I like art a lot. I play guitar like Miles Davis. I like to eat tacos on Tuesday with my girlfriend, listening to Cocteau Twins and Kate Bush and Bjork. And yeah, we like to look at the stars, enjoying some fine cannabis and cuddling. So yeah, I don't know. I think I've said enough for now. yeah, always do your best though. I don't know. I'm just trying to help, guys. just trying to do my own hobbit's duty, if you will. All right. Well, I think that's good. And, it looks like I've recorded all right. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening to the inaugural Six of Discs. And yeah, I'll see you. All right. Thank you so much for listening. These will continue to improve, and I'm kind of proud of myself in a small way just for getting this done. One of those personal satisfaction things. Knowing that you're on the path kind of things. That's different from pride, but it's close to pride. It's a warm, positive, good feeling. Anyways, it's almost my birthday. I'm going to turn in. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been, it's been a great, great, great year.